Excuse me. Nice way to start the recording. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Everything that precedes here goes back to verse 16 through. So let's read the whole thing and then we'll get an idea. Just from 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a cancer, or canker, or gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now we talked about the word, when it talked about the foundation in verse 19, that's the basis of the inward reality. But then it talks about the vessels of gold, silver, and earth, of wood and earth. That's the outward appearance. So there's two things going on. He's telling us to avoid or shun profane and vain babblings, especially those of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already. And then he goes on into this, in a spacious house, there are vessels of gold and silver and wood and earthen, which there means terracotta or baked clay. And that everyone that nameth the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. Now, in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge is a variant of the word catharsis. It's ek-kathario. And it means to separate from communion with. Now, the these refers to those discussed in 16 and 17. Profane and vain babblings, and the ones who say that the resurrection is past. And Timothy, the instructions here to Timothy, this is Paul's last letter, is to separate himself from communion with those. Now, that to separate from communion is to excommunicate. Now, this is critical in terms of, it's something that I've had a huge problem with because, you know, I've never, as far as I can remember, I've never caused anyone to be excommunicated. And so let's look at the basis or the history of that.
Can I ask one question before we go? When it says in 21, if a man purge himself from these, the these is the covering, the vest?
No, these refers to 16 and 17.
And 20, right?
Yeah, I mean, it refers to, but 20 just describes more so the ones in 16 and 17. You understand?
So the
Timothy, Paul is instructing Timothy to separate himself from communion with those. All right? Now, excommunication, it comes from It's exactly the same as what it was in the Old Testament. It means exclusion from fellowship as a means of discipline or purification of the church or of both. The New Testament, as they did with just about everything else, they adopted the synagogal system. And so there are three levels of excommunication. The first one is called Nidu, N-I-D-D-U-Y. It's you forbid the bath, the communal table, the temple, and the social intercourse. It lasted for 30, 60, or 90 days. And that was strictly upheld by the law. The second one was called Harem, and it's formal pronouncement by a council of 10 that they would be shut out from the intellectual, social, and religious life of a community. They were severed from the congregation. And then Shamantha is the final stage. The one we just described was for a time, the time to be determined by those council of 10. But Shamantha was the same as what we just read, but it was done forever. So there's three levels of this excommunication. One is for relatively minor, what we would think of, or they thought of as minor things. The second one was the one that had to be by the formal pronouncement by the Council of Ten. And then the last one was shut out from intellectual, social, and religious life of the community. They're severed from the congregation for a time, to determine by that same council of 10. The last one, Shamantha, was the final stage, and it was they were separated forever. Now, we're going to look in the New Testament how this is applied. Anybody have any thoughts or questions? This seems severe. Something we've never done.
What have we done? We've done maybe a little bit.
Well, I mean, what we've done is let the process happen. I mean, once the problem was identified, then it was spoken of and exhorted, and then
there've been things like where the guy that was around here that we exhorted him several times, and finally. That kid stood in the street, I can't remember his name, but you finally said, I got nothing more for this guy.
Yes, I had nothing more to do with him. That was from me.
Yeah. Well, I followed there. So there was some level of...
Right. I readily admit, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Here. Right. All right, let's look at... It's going to take us a few to go over all this.
Do it.
All right, let's go to Matthew 18. Let's start there. Verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, is not in the text. It's just, if thy brother shall trespass, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now that whole, from verse 15 to 19, I mean to 20, is talking about this issue of separation It isn't talking about, you can't get doctrine from this. You can't take one verse and create a doctrine. This is talking about this whole idea of excommunication. But here it appears from the verbiage to me that this is personal. It's when it, even after they've told it to the church and he didn't hear, then it's let him be unto thee, the one that was trespassed, the one who the subject was in the first, in verse 15. Do you understand?
Yeah, not to
me. So this, again, in my opinion, this is personal. This is what happens with you. And that's with the basis for which I did with that guy, whatever his name was. I don't even remember who it was.
I don't remember
either,
but that was it.
Yeah. Okay, now the second one is, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
I don't know what you mean by personal.
It had applied to the guy. If you did something to offend Gary,
well, like as opposed to what? Because everything is that. Everything is a person doing something.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We're talking about the body. It's just between the offender and the.
It's not that you're excluded from fellowship from everybody else. It's a personal thing between you and him.
A particular member.
Yeah.
And another member.
Right.
You become like a Gentile, which means all kinds of terrible things. So and you let that play itself out to see what.
Right.
What
and that's that. And the only right. And that's the only thing that happened with that guy.
Right.
All right. Who I don't even remember who he was, but I vaguely remember the circumstances. All right, now 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are as busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay, that's a similar thing. He's not excommunicated, but there's something going on. And it's our responsibility to exhort that person with all exhortation. We got it?
This is like the extent God goes to reach into the deepest part of people who
oppose themselves.
Well, this whole process isn't something that's in it, the word in Latin is interium, which means to it's not a hard fast rule that you apply. None of these are. It's
it's sort of like the Jewish structure. In an organism, then it becomes a different kind of a
right.
Thing.
It's not a do; it's a what is.
Yeah, are all these things in the context of rules or love?
No, they're all in the love. It's all these things have the basis of love. And I mean, it doesn't seem like it because you want to, but you see eternally. You see farther down the street, and if that person doesn't see, then he's got some big problems. Okay, let's look at some more. Let's look at Titus, chapter 3, just a couple pages to the left. I mean, to the right, I'm sorry. My other left. Dang. No, Titus.
Titus.
Titus. No, I'm in the wrong book. No wonder I couldn't find it. I was in the wrong place. Shut up, Ronnie. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying, that, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed... I'm sorry, Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Now that's pretty heavy. If this were true in terms of me admonishing, there would be a handful of people. I mean, I don't know how to do this. And I've prayed about it, and I don't understand it. I admit it. I mean, this is heavy. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Now, so that's another one.
What all does heretic imply? That's a big word, isn't it?
Well, it implies the whole doctrine into which we've been delivered.
And that would be one who either refuses to understand or uses foolish questions in that to...
I'm not going to name any names, but we've had many of this sort that have been here. All right. Now let's look at another one. In 2 John, go back to the left. That's not true. It's right after Hebrews. Shortly after Hebrews.
Second John.
Your Bible isn't the same as their Bible.
I know.
Verse 7. Verse 7.
What chapter?
Little Second John humor. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your own house or your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, all of those that we've just read indicate avoid, but not necessarily this final excommunication, right? It's talking about avoiding them, right?
This sounds like it's more like a teacher person.
Yeah, yeah.
With a new
right,
deal.
Right.
We had that happen in our house.
I've had it happen. I'll bet you in the 30-some years, and when I used to teach bananas, I had that happen all the time.
I remember the light guy. The guy who was on the light doctrine.
Anyway, now, these are the ones that are a little bit more final. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So, that's pretty heavy. And then it goes on about purging out the leaven. This was obviously just before Passover, because that's what the... Well, let's read that. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are leavened. A new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you not in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must needs ye go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one known not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So that's excommunicate, delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That's pretty heavy. All right, let's go to next to the 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
And obviously these things are talking about people who don't repent.
Right.
It's like they're saying, strong,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is my thing.
Yeah.
Trying to make a stand about it.
2 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is now, he's speaking about what he said and did in the first, what we just read, about the one that's having sex with his father's wife, which indicates it was his stepmother. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, he's talking now about the one that was delivered to Satan. apparently, from the sense of this, there was repentance on his part. But some didn't forgive him. And now he's exhorting them to forgive and receive him in love. So this whole deal is great. It always has to have the basis of it is love. The only thing that we ever hope for is that there would be repentance. Now we're dealing with this, we don't have time, but then we're going to go study what he did to Simon Magus and Elymas and Ananias and Hymenaeus and Alexander. We'll do that the next time we meet, but we've had enough here.
Hymenaeus shows up.
So, what have we learned? We've learned that everything we do must have as its basis love, but not sloppy agape. It's love in the context of the mystery of God. Now, I readily admit, I don't know how to do all this. I've probably made, no doubt, I've made jillions of mistakes. But I can see several instances, and this is extremely important, where I knew nothing about the root of bitterness that had sprung up, but others here did, and it wasn't dealt with. And that's a shame.
What does that mean? I don't understand that.
There was a person that made all kinds of statements about me privately to another elder. And we didn't deal with it. Because I didn't know about it. And because of that, I think all kinds of damage took place. But that too is forgiven. But let's learn from it. The power and the evil towards evil of talebearing or of hearing others' accusations without dealing with it. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen, Gary?
You want to talk privately?
Yeah. We've already talked about it, but
yeah,
you don't know what I'm
talking about. I know what you're saying, and I'm amen that whole thing. But I'm surprised you say you didn't know about it.
I didn't know about it until after the lead leaving happened. You understand that?
Yeah, but that's where I'm surprised, because it wasn't like a secret or anything. I thought it was pretty much open.
But you didn't talk to me about it.
I didn't know I needed to. It was open.
It wasn't open to me. I never knew it.
You never knew the conversations? Okay, well, I'll take it your word there, but because it happened a long time ago.
Oh, I know.
And I forget things myself. So.
All right. Anyway, my point is, If you have an accusation against an elder, don't keep it to yourself. Deal with it.
That first one we read from Matthew's, it hit me how important the process of hearing is. That's what that emphasizes.
Amen.
Hearing is very important, whatever it means.
John, any thoughts?
No. When we're wronged, it doesn't give us an excuse to stop doing good things.
No, of course not.
Right.
I'm impressed with how fundamental this is, say from God's point of view, that it's for the individual, certainly, but it's for the body exclusively. It's because these things can, as a canker, ruin cause a lot of trouble in the individual too, so it's nothing but an expression of God's love that must work out through us.
And remember, the basis of it is not believing and not living and not knowing that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That's the basis of all the other. Amen? All right, we'll spend more time on this tomorrow, if God wills. Take it, big guy.